So hopefully we will have printed Marimekomos in a moment. Mayor will be getting them for us. But for now, we'll use the digital Marimekomos that I sent out before. And we'll begin taking a look at tonight's sugya. So last week, we introduced the concept of Insur Remora. We discussed whether this is more of a punishment, a standard reactive punishment, something that he has done already, or it's kind of a proactive treatment in order to prevent him from reaching a certain despicable point that we don't want to allow him to reach. We noted the languages in the Gemara, the differences, no problem at all, the differences between the various the discussions about some of the nafkaminas, about trefa, about katan, and the like. This week I want to go in a bit of a different direction, and we're going to say in the following sense. Let us assume for a moment that there is some kind of, at least some kind of element or something that is reactive in the treatment of Bensoru Umora. If there is something that the Bensoru Umora has done wrong, the next question is going to be, what exactly is the nature of the prohibition that this Bensoru Umora has violated? There are lots of conditions. If you've seen the Gemaras in Sanhedrin already, you'll know there's a lot of conditions, or we will see them as we go forward, lots of conditions pertaining to what the Bensoru Umora must do. And they lend themselves to different interpretations of what exactly the sin, or what exactly the Azhara of Bensoru Umora is. So tonight I want to explore some of the different avenues for understanding what exactly is it that the Bensoru Umora does wrong, or at least, what is the driving force behind the punishment that we give him? If he does many things wrong, then which one of those things is it that is most significant such that we would go to the drastic measure of administering this punishment to the Bensoru Umora? And we will actually see that there's a major machlokes rishonim regarding what the source of this entire din of Bensoru Umora is, what is the Azhara of Bensoru Umora, what category does this fit under? Now tonight, especially because we're going to have an abridged year tonight because we ended up starting late, we're not going to go through the various nafkaminas of this question, but please God, next week we will see that this is not only a theoretical, abstract question regarding what he did wrong. It's not only a spiritual question regarding what he did wrong, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to hold him accountable for in Shamayim, but there will actually be a number of pragmatic halachic questions that will hinge on this issue. So we might, I highly doubt we're going to have time to explore them tonight, but certainly Bezer Shem next week we will explore some of the issues that come up that might hinge on the nature of the sin of the Bensoru Umora. So for now, let us begin by looking at the potential sources for Bensoru Umora. And the most obvious source when it comes to this topic, is source number one, a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara here is discussing the pasuk of Lo Soklu Al Hadam, a pasuk that appears in Sefer Vayikra. And the Gemara notes that there are lots of different things that we learn from this pasuk. The Sanya, we learned in a Braisa, source number one. Minayin lo'ochal min ha-behema kodom she-tetze nafsha, shu below sa'ase. How do we know that you can't eat from an animal before it's before it has died? What we would call Eber Menachai. Talmud Lomar, lo soklu al adam. Okay, do not eat on the blood, literally would be the translation. And because it says lo soklu al adam, you can't eat it while it still has its, while the neshama is still present. Thank you so much, Mayor. If anyone wants. Oh, because of previous things that I probably printed out. Okay, my bad, I apologize. I should cancel. All right, whatever.
It doesn't cancel.
So the Gemara says the first thing that we learn out from Lo Soklu Al Adam is that you can't eat from a behema kodem shetetze nafsha. Dabar acher, Lo Soklu Al Adam, Lo Soklu Basar Vadayin Dam Mizrak. Second limit of the Gemara is that maybe it's not talking about Basar Chulin, it's talking about Basar Kadshim. When you bring a karban, you can't, the Kohanim, or the Bailim, if it's a karban shlamim, you can't begin eating from the karban unless the blood has already, there's been Zrikas Adam, unless the blood has already been thrown onto the Mizbeach. Rabbi Dosa Omer Minayin Shein Mavrin Al Haruge, based in Tamal Omer Lo Soklu Al Adam, Rabbi Dosa says, how do you know that you don't do the traditional Su'udas Havra'ah in the case where Beis Din put somebody to death? Lo Soklu Al Adam. Third thing, Rabbi Kiva Omer Minayin Lo Sanhedrin Shehargu Es HaNefesh Ein Tom In Klum Kol Oso Ayom, Tamal Omer Lo Soklu Al Adam. That if a Sanhedrin administers a capital punishment, they don't eat for the entire day. Once again, Lo Soklu Al Adam. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Azhar Leben Sorer Umore Minayin. Where is the warning? Where does the Torah have this prohibition of Bensoru Umora? Talmud Lomar Lo Soklu Al Hadam. We quote the same pasuk, don't eat on blood, literal translation, and in terms of the halachic connotation, the Gemara learns out all these different things, learns out other things as well. Not eating before davening would be another halacha that commonly comes up that's attributed to Lo Soklu Al Hadam. Lo Soklu Al Hadam teaches us many, many things. So many things, in fact, that Lo Soklu Al Hadam becomes the paradigmatic in halacha, the paradigmatic lav shebecholos. It's what we call a lav shebecholos. It's an important principle. There are certain areas where a specific pasuk teaches us many, many different halachos, and that takes on a special category in halacha called lav shebecholos, and there are lots of interesting ramifications of lav shebecholos. If we ever get to Shorash Tess in our Sunday morning chabura, we will discuss lav shebecholos. Now, one of the important parts of lav shebecholos is that, generally speaking, the Rambam will not count it in the Taryag Mitzvos. That is what he says in Shorash Tess. The Rambam will not count lav shebecholos in the Taryag Mitzvos, yet, the Rambam here does say that the source for Ben Sorah Umorah is Lo Sokla Al Adam, and he does indeed count it among the Taryag. So if you look at source 2, the Rambam in Lo Sase Kuf Tzadi Hei, Mitzvah Kuf Tzadi Hei, Mitzvah Lo Sase 195, Hisha His Hiranu Mihyos Zolil Visovei B'ma'achal V'meshteh B'meha Na'arus, that we should not engage in this gluttonous, hedonistic behavior during our youth, Uvitznoim Hamituarim B'Ben Sorah Umorah, through all of the conditions that are described in Perak Ben Sorah Rumora, and again, as we go forward, we'll discuss some of the particular conditions that the Mishnah and the Gemara describe. Hu Amro Yisala Lo Soklu Al Adam. And what is the source for this? The pasuk of Lo Soklu Al Adam. V'orzesh Ben Sorah Rumora Miklal Michuyave Misos Pastein. Ubal Shona Torah Bo Beskilo Kvar Bayanu Bakdomozam Maimer Shakol Mashachiyah Bo Akos of Kares Omisas Pastein. Hu Mitzas Losas Ezul As Apesach Amilak Moshe Bayanu. That's the end of the first paragraph. The Rambam says that we find the Torah tells us that there is capital punishment for this sin, and we know that in any instance in which there's going to be capital punishment or kares, we must be dealing with a mitzvah losas. The only two exceptions are Bris Milah and Karban Pesach. Those are the only two mitzvahs say that one, the neglect of which would incur a chi of kares. Now, at the end, if you look at three lines up from the bottom of the second paragraph, the Rambam says, V'af al pi, as I always tell my students, it's an implicit question. Instead of explicating a question, the Rambam is going to imply a question and forfend a question. V'af al pi shazeh halav hu lav shebeklalos, k'mo shebe'arnu b'shor shachi'i, even though I shouldn't really be counting this, because it is, after all, the paradigmatic lav shebeklalos, he says, Gizein orachok, she'achar she'ha'onesh meforash, Ein lochosh al ha'azhara imhi min adin omi lav shebeklalos. The Rambam says, once the Torah tells me explicitly that there is going to be a punishment of skila for the Ben Sorah Umorah, then it doesn't really matter to me where the azhara comes from. Even if it comes from a lav shebeklalos, I will still be able to count it. I still will count it, says the Rambam, as long as the onesh is explicit. Kvar aspar zeh pa'amim v'ekdamnu mimenu mashlim, kvar aspar dine mitzvah zo b'perek shmini misanhedrin. And he goes on to say that, okay, everything will be properly explained. In the eighth paragraph of Sanhedrin, which is what we're learning. Good. The Ramban takes issue with the Rambam here. The Ramban in source 3 says, kvar kosafti b'ikar hasheni. This is what we did see. The Ramban says that in my commentary on the second Shoresh of the Rambam, the Shoreshim of the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos, is where he describes all the principles that he has in terms of what he is going to count and what he is not going to count. We know that there are lots of mitzvos. It's hard to find which ones make it into that elite category of the 613, the Taryag. So in the Shoreshim, the Rambam gives us the principles for what he considers worthy of being counted and what is not worthy of being counted. In the Shoresheni, which we've actually been discussing extensively, which we finished recently, Rambam says that something that is learned from the Yud Gimel Midos She'atorah Nedreshes Bahem should not be counted among the Taryag. If it's learned through our 13 hermeneutic principles, as opposed to being written explicitly in the Torah, it does not deserve to be counted. So the Ramban says, "Ukar kasati b'ikar sheni." That's probably the most controversial of the Rambam Shoreshim. So the Ramban, commenting on that, says, "I already wrote when I was commenting on this second principle, shehakdama shehiktim nishperes v'nefsedes, that the Rambam's own introduction is broken and lost." In other words, he says he accuses the Rambam of not complying with the own principle, with his own principles, with the principles that he professes to follow in the context of counting the 613 mitzvos. The Ramban says he doesn't really count it. V'gam b'zeh od hefsin. And he asks a very important question that we are going to return to in future weeks. He says, if you want to tell me that the whole thing is based on the explicit punishment of skila, we're going to see, we actually mentioned very briefly at the end of last week's shiur, that it's not actually true that the Ben Sorah Umorah receives skila right away. The first time he violates, he receives a punishment of malchus, and only if there's a repeat offense, only if he does it again, if he persists, then do we give him Misa. So the Rambam's own argument of saying that the punishment is explicit in the psukim is not even going to help you for the ben sorer umore, because for the first violation, he actually doesn't receive that punishment that the Rambam describes. He receives a different punishment.
What's the makar for the makos, though? Isn't it a pasuk?
It's v'yisruoso. It's a gzeirah shava of v'yisruoso. And actually, in the hemshech of the Ramban, which I did not quote here, you notice there's a convenient ellipsis right after that line, he does discuss v'yisruoso.
I don't know if you covered this last week, but are we assuming that this achila is like a certain amount, and also drinking like the yayin and everything,
Yeah.
As a makas?
Yeah.
100%. The standard tartemar bazar, the tartemar bazar, and chatzi log yayin, right? Is the language of the Gemara? I don't remember exactly, but it's a mission.
Chatzi log.
Yeah. So we will see. There are standards for what you need to eat, and already next week we'll discuss some of the details of those standards. I'm deliberately holding off on the Ramban. Because the Hemshech of the Ramban is going to be very important for the way we understand the relationship between Malkus and Misa, and that perhaps will have broader ramifications for the way we understand Ben Sorer Umore generally. But the Ramban does call out the Rambam for violating his own principles for counting something that he considers to be a Lav Sheva Klolos. Now, I just want to point out that the Rambam, and I deliberately preface the next part by saying this is a loose comparison, but there are a number of differences between what the Rambam says here and what I'm about to quote, but there are other instances where the Rambam takes diyukim, or inferences, from Pshuto Shel Mikra, and treat them as very significant on a halachic level as well. So perhaps the most famous example of this is what we find in sources 4, 5, and 6. In source 4, the Rambam discusses the performance of Kiddushin. Kiddushin, we know, is the first stage of Jewish marriage. We know the first Mishnah in Maseches Kiddushin tells us that it's accomplished in one of three ways: kesef, shtar, ubia. Either the groom will hand over to the bride, kesef, money, or shveh kesef, which is what we use, a ring, which has monetary value, a shtar, a legal document, or bia, or it's through marital relations. Now the Rambam, in his discussion of these three methods of Kiddushin, says the following. Source 4. V'likuchin elu mitzvahs aseh shel torahim. The Rambam holds that Kiddushin is the mitzvahs aseh. That's a well-known machlokes rishonim. Uve'echad mishlosha dvarim ma'isha nikneis. And there are three ways that this process of Kiddushin can be performed. Bekesef, o b'shtar, o b'bia. So far, he's just quoting the first Mishnah of Maseches Kiddushin. Then he says, b'bia uve'shtar min ha'torah, uve'kesef midivrei sofra. Very controversial line. That bia and shtar, those are ways to effect Kiddushin on a De'oraisa level, and the simple reading of the Rambam is that Kesef, which is the form of Kiddushin that we all use, is actually only Midrash Sofrim, is actually only Midrabbana. So, this line in the Rambam created a major tumult, and the Rambam himself was asked about this. How can you possibly say that Kesef is Midrash Sofrim? And the Rambam in a tshuva, which I quoted part of in Source 5, Simon Shin Nun Hei, responds to this point. Now, I will note now that there is much controversy regarding how to read this tshuva of the Rambam, so much so that people take this Rambam in absolutely opposite directions. The Rambam had a way of writing where, despite his remarkable clarity, we always had the ability to take the Rambam in opposite directions. If you want, Chaim Soloveitchik has an excellent article on the Mishnah Torah, and the remarkable way in which the Rambam, despite his remarkable clarity and precision, the ways in which the work has been taken in so many different directions. So, somehow that happens with the Rambam. And this is actually a great example. So I'm going to be presenting what I think is I very firmly believe this is the correct reading of the Rambam, but some would dispute. So the Rambam in this piece goes through a lengthy discussion of what he means when he says divrei sofrim. And the Rambam effectively says that when I use this phrase divrei sofrim, it sometimes means derabbanan, that is true, but it does not always mean midrabbanan. Sometimes it means something that is midoraisa. When I say midoraisa, what I mean is that it is not written explicitly in the psukim. It is derived through the Yud Gimel Midos. And just like I said in Shoresh Beis that I won't count something like that for the Taryag Mitzvos, by the same token, I will call that divrei sofrim. That's how the Rambam responds. But then the Rambam notes, now you're going to ask another question against me. He says, okay, fine. So when it comes to Bia, I say that that is min ha-Torah because it's written explicitly in the Pasuk. Kikach ishishah v'Allah. So that is, we have, and he quotes other sources, right, from the Gemara Kiddushin, first paragraph of Kiddushin. Bia is written explicitly in the Torah. But what about Shtar? Shtar, just like Kesef, is not explicitly in the psukim, it is learned through a drasha. So the Rambam says, look, I've explained to you why I say divrei sofer by kesef. It's deoraisa, but it's learned through a drasha, so therefore I'm going to call it divrei sofer rather than calling it minatorah. But now you're going to ask, why do I call shtar minatorah? If that too is learned from a drasha, it should have the same category as kesef. And take a look at the Rambam's answer, source number 5. And I know what you're going to ask now. Okay, good. Bia is minatorah. That's midah oraisa. Sharei lo lemdua b'midah b'shlosh esrei midos. Because that we don't learn from one of the 13 midos she'atorah nidreshes b'hem. That is explicit in the pasuk. Ela uv Allah melamed she'niknes b'bia. We have an explicit reference to it in the Torah itself. In Sefer Tvarim, Parshas Ki Tse. Ela kesef ve'hashtar behekesh lo amdu osan. But kesef and shtar were both learned through yud gimel midos. Now, interesting, Hekesh is not really on our list of Yigdim Omidos. That is something that we discussed in the Sunday morning Chaburas. But they're not explicit in the Psukim. They should have the same category. So, Lama Amarta Sheashtar Minatorah VeKesef MiDevrayim. So, why, Rambam, do you tell me that Shtar is MiDeOraisa and that Kesef is only this other category of Divrei Sofrim? The Rambam says as follows, VeAtshuva Alzeh. Here's the answer. Shevadai Kacha Yisi Omar SheKesef VeAshtar MiDevrayim Holu Minadin Ba'u. I really, in a vacuum, would have said that both Kesef and Shtar are Divrei Sofrim because of the fact that neither of them are written explicitly in the Pasuk. Lulei hada amrinon behedya b'inyin nara me'orosa. However, we have a Gemara in Gidush Nadav test that discusses the case of nara me'orosa. De amrinon nara me'orosa de amar achmana b'skila heichi meshkach asla. This nara me'orosa that the Torah issues skila to, in onesh misa of skila, This form of capital punishment, where do we find such a case? Pirish mi de amakra nara besula meorosa, shma mina bevadai sheish meorosa minatora belo bia uvame. Now, before we go through the continuation of the Rambam, let's look at what the Rambam is referring to. He's referring to the psukim that appear in source number 6. Pasuk says as follows: Ki yehya na'ara visula meorosa leish umtsa'a ish ba'ir v'shachavima. We have a case of a betrothed woman, so she has erusin, but not yet nisuin. They're between the two stages of marriage. Nowadays, we do both stages of marriage at the same time. But back in the times of Chazal, the Mishnah Ksubas tells us there was a year between them. So this couple has the first stage of marriage, the erusin. They have not yet done the nisuin, and the bride to be, who is a besula, she's described in the Torah. She is a virgin. Has an affair with another man. And the Torah says, they receive the capital punishment of skila. Now, the Rambam says, clearly this indicates you can have a couple where they have done erusin already, and the bride is still a bisula. So clearly that indicates that if the only way to perform kiddushin on a Torah level were through bia, then there would be no conceivable case of na'ara v'sula me'orasa le'ish. This pasuk wouldn't have any possible application. So the Rambam, on the basis of the Gemara Kiddushin on that test, says, what must it be referring to? It must be referring to shtar. So here again we have an example of where the Rambam says something should not really be considered minatorah, it should really be midivrei sofrim, but because we have other psukim that clearly indicate that we must be referring to this particular case, it's elevated to the level of Min HaTorah.
It also could have just
been Kesef. It could have, yeah, so why not Kesef as opposed to Shtar? So the Rambam is basing himself on the Gemara Kiddushin Daf test, which says it must be a case of Shtar. You're right. Theoretically, it could have been Kesef or Shtar, 100%, but the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf test says that it is Shtar. So that is actually the first, when I was going to point out the differences between our case and this case, the most important difference is that in the case of Kiddushin Shtar, the Rambam is basing himself on a Gemara Kiddushin. Whereas in our case of Ben Sorer Umora, right, the Rambam doesn't have that same basis. Now, the Rambam does have the Gemara on Sanhedrin Daf Samach Gimel that says that the Azhara for Ben Sorer Umora is Lo Soklu Al Adam, but there it's within the framework of Lav Shevaklolos. My point is merely as follows. The Rambam is willing to say that in certain cases, and again, I'm not saying these are directly parallel, there are important differences between them. What?
Hey, the Pasuk of Have the Buzz of Yisro is saying, they think the Rambam already dealt with that.
Of Yisro's own?
Yeah, I mean, that's Gemara that brings down that
pasuk. That's a Gzeir Shava. So the Ramban points out that while Yisro's own will help me, it still won't help the Rambam, because the Rambam in Shorsh Beis This is the hemshech of this Ramban in source number 3, is that you can't, that's not going to help you either way, according to the Rambam. So the Ramban says, well, while I'm going to use Viesroso, the Rambam is not really going to be able to use Viesroso anyway. So again, that's something, Viesroso is something we're going to get back to. It's going to be an important piece. But the point is that there are certain circumstances where the Rambam will contextualize a certain parsha in the Torah and use that to elevate something to the level of Torah, what he would call min ha-Torah, or almost like meforash bakra. Even though it's not explicitly in the psukim itself, the Rambam's saying, because we have this pensor mora, and because he has this punishment, it doesn't bother me so much that the azhara itself comes from a lav shevaklalos, because contextually, if I contextualize the parsha of pensor mora and recognize that there's this onesh misa, clearly we are dealing with an isur min ha-Torah, and he's willing to apply that. Similar, again, with important differences, but perhaps similar to the way he's willing to include kiddushe shtar as something that is min ha-Torah. So the first azhara is lo soklu al adam. Sorry?
No.
Yeah? What are you telling me?
No, just about the Gemara Matnas, right? That the Gemara says that the shtar has to do with, I mean, that it's learned out from Gittin, right?
Yeah, Vyatza v'haisa, that's an important part.
But that's also a kazirishon. I mean, that's
a hekesh. That's exactly the question that the Rambam was asking, right? Saying, so you're going to tell me, I say, midivrei sofrim by kesa, because of kicha kicha mistayafron, that's yud gimel midos shatorn reshes behem, or ein kesav al nozel v'yesh kesav al donacher, whichever one you want to use, right? The same thing could apply to shtar. That's exactly his question.
And the answer is that a hekesh is stronger?
No. His answer is that because the Gemara in Daf Tes has this case of na'ara b'sula me'orasa
le'ish, willing to put that for the pasuk.
And it can't, right.
Can't
that is a
pasuk without...
Exactly. Okay? That's what the Rambam is saying.
So you want to say so the question is, can we apply that back?
Right. And again, it's somewhat similar. In other words, the Rambam is saying that we have this Bensoru Moreh. He clearly has an Onesh Skila. So, therefore, it doesn't bother me so much, the original Azhara.
It's not Mokhruf that, from, like here, it's Mokhruf, it has to be Shtar.
Yeah,
it's 100, not Mokhruf here that it has to be.
100%. Again, like that was, yeah, I think there are differences. What does Viyisroso?
What else would it mean, if not Mokhruf?
Again, he's talking about what the Azhara is. V'yisroso means makos through Gzer Shava.
Right. So if that is
enough,
that makos are Darasa.
The Rambam does not say that. The Ramban says it is. The Rambam does not say that, right? That's one of the issues that the Ramban is taking up with the Rambam. Now, just very quickly, let's fly through some of the other Azharas that the Rishonim raise, okay? So the first is lo soklu al adam, which the Rambam interprets as inappropriate gluttonous behavior in youth. The Ramban, in his commentary al Torah on the Parsha of Bensor Remora, also tries to figure out what exactly the issue with Bensor Remora is. And in source number 7, he says the following. He says, Hina yesh alav shnei onshin. There are two punishments for the Bensor Remora. Ha'echad, who maklav v'imo umam rebohem. The first is for rebellion against his parents. V'hasheni shehu l'zolel v'sove. And the second is that he is engaging in this gluttonous hedonism. Over amashin etztavinu kidoshim tihu. Wow. The Ramban introduces a new pasuk, kidoshim tihu, and says that the Bensor Umora has violated this. Now, the Ramban here is not explicating what he commented on that pasuk of kidoshim tihu, but it's one of the most famous Rambans a la Torah. The Ramban there says there's a concept of naval birshus ha-Torah, critical category, that somebody can follow the letter of the law in every single context, but still be a despicable, odious character, despite their adherence to the letter of the law. The story I always like to quote when I talk about this Ramban is a story about my father. My father did not know this Ramban. My father, again, he's not a learned man, but he's a very decent and I would say pious man. So he had a friend who was engaging in shady business practices, like questionable business practices. And when he spoke to him about it, his friend said to him, I asked a Rav and he said it's okay. And my father replied to him and said, if you need to ask a Rav whether or not your business practices are okay, then it's not okay. In other words, that's the concept of Naval Rishus HaTorah. Even if you asked someone, you got a psak that technically it's not within, it's not Isra Lo Sigzol, if you have to ask, if you're conducting honest business, you don't need to ask a Shaila as to whether or not what you are doing is okay. So the mere fact that you had to ask is what the Ramban would call Naval Rishus HaTorah. So here, the Ramban references what he says there, Kedoshim Tihu. This engagement in this ravenous behavior is a violation of Kedoshim Tihu. You should cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kasher Pirash, you should nistavinu l'da'as Hashem b'chol darkeinu, v'zola v'sovei lo yada derech Hashem. And he's saying engaging in this kind of behavior is not actually true yediyas Hashem. So the Ramban says this is a violation of Kedoshim Tihyu. Now, it's very interesting. Kedoshim Tihyu would presumably be what? It would presumably be a mitzvah saseh. And we don't really administer punishments for a mitzvah saseh. So it's not entirely clear how much the Ramban means Kedoshim Tihyu. Does he mean that he's saying he happens to violate the spirit of Kedoshim Tihyu? Is he giving me a general sense of what's wrong? Is he giving me an actual halachic azhara? Not entirely clear, but the Ramban introduces this category or factor of Kedoshim Tihyu. And then at the end, the Ramban adds, V'gamzo mitzvah michudeshes. He says this is also a mitzvah michudeshes. The Ramban in his commentary on Devarim is keen on pointing out which mitzvahs in Devarim are new mitzvahs that did not appear in the previous four Svarim. He says, oh, or perhaps, mivo eres min kabedes avicha ve'esimecha ve'ish imal ve'aviv tiram. Or he says, I'm going to introduce a second thing. Of kabedes avicha ve'esimecha, ish imal ve'aviv tira'u. The azhara for the bensoru more is kibud avi. Now, if you zoom out from the Ramban and what we saw in the Rambam, so far we have actually two very different perspectives on what exactly the problem is here. Is the problem his gluttonous behavior, the hedonism, zolel v'sove, lo soklo al adam, kedoshim tihyu? That's one view that we have. The alternative is, look, we don't promote that kind of behavior, but what's the real problem here? It's not his hedonism, it's what he's doing to his parents. Ish imo. Ish imove aviv tira'u, kabedes avicha ve'esimecha. This is a young person who is stealing from his or his parents, as we will see. So, in a circumstance in which you have something like that, this is a violation of the respect due to his parents to such an extreme degree that we are going to administer this higher punishment. So we have two very different perspectives on what the Isur is so far, and we will see. This will have important ramifications as we go forward. Let's just see two more. We're not going to go through sources 9, 10, 11. Those will be the sources that we start with next week. But let's look at the Sefer Yireim, and I want to quote outside of Kli Chemda. The Kli Chemda does not appear on Bar Ilan, so fortunately it's not in the Mar Mekomos, but I'll just quote outside what he says. A very interesting view appears in the Sefer Yireim. Sefer Yireim, Rav Elazar Mimetz, Simon Reish Ayin Hey, says the following. This is really remarkable. Bensoru Mora, Tziva Habore Shalo Leilech Adam Bechukos Hagoyim, Lirdof Achare Shririus Lavavo Lichios Zolel Vesove, Dechsiv Beparshas Kedoshim Tihu. He's not quoting the Pasuk Kedoshim Tihu. He says, in Parshas Kedoshim, V'lo Seilchu Bechukos Hagoy. He says, what is the Iser? Chukas Akum. The Iser is going in the direction of the Gentiles. Chukas Akum. Now, we normally think of Chukas Akum questions when it comes to, nowadays, this time of year, we're always thinking about Chukas Akum, the holiday season, and things like that. But the Yireim says, it's Chukas Akum. The Chukas Agoyim Zolulim Vesovim, and the way of the Goyim is to engage in that kind of hedonistic behavior, obviously not a politically correct Sefer Yireim, and whether or not we would assert that all, I don't think the Meiri, or we would assert that all people are like that, of course, but the Yireim is saying that that is not Jewish behavior, and because it's not Jewish behavior, the Isser is Lo Seichel B'chukos Hagoyim. Notwithstanding the fact that we know many fine, upstanding, non-Jewish neighbors. Mikan Lamadu Azhar Leben Zoru Mora, Lama Hutzrachnu Lilmod Malkos Didei, Mimakom Achrat, Fish Azhar Zulav Shabaklos, Vein Lokan Alav. And he says, this will explain all the issues when it comes to the Azhara of Ben Zoru Mora. And then, Mayor, just to satisfy you here, Inami, if you look at the third line, Yeshlomar Azhar Leben Zoru Mora, Nafka Migzera Shava Shalamanu Malkos V'Yisru Miben Ben, sorry, Malkos v'yisru mi v'yisru. V'yisru. Mi ben v'yayim ben rasha. You have to figure out how those bens all fit into the reading of the Sefer Yireim. But, or it's from v'yisru v'yisru, which is a gzera shav that we will see afterwards. So according to Sefer Yireim, it's chukas akum, a pretty shocking application of chukas akum. And then finally, the Kli Chemda offers one final view, that it is an iser of stealing, of lo signo, because he steals from his parents. Now you'll tell me the punishment for stealing is not misa, is not a skila. So the Kli Chemda says, yes, that is true, but we have another principle, that anyone is over the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, the punishment for all the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach is capital punishment. Any violation for the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, there's another one in Sanhedrin, obviously a complex ethical question that needs to be disentangled, but we'll leave the ethical, leaving the ethical questions aside for now and just dealing with it on a purely legal level, pure halachic level, the Gemara Sanhedrin tells us that any violation of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach entails a capital punishment. So he says that because he has so greatly violated his Jewish values of what it means to be a Jew, to be an upstanding Oved Hashem, that we give him the halacha of an Oved Kochavim, and we give him capital punishment for stealing. Now, yeah. So the famous Yisrael Afal Pi Shechata Yisrael Hu. So that's a very strong question. It's a very mechudash kli chemda. I would just point out, and that's the next thing I was going to point out, this notion of Yisrael Afal Pi Shechata Yisrael Hu, that even no matter how much you sin, you're treated as Yisrael, is certainly the majority view in the Rishonim. But we do have minority views in the Rishonim as well that don't seem to agree with it. It was made famous by Rashi. The original context that the Gemara says that line has nothing to do with the way in which it's commonly used. That application was done by Rashi, who said Yisrael, Al Pishchad Yisrael Hu. And there are some who seem to disagree with that. The Meiri says that in certain contexts, if one, the Meiri has a positive inclination towards other monotheistic faith. So if you convert to another monotheistic faith, the Meiri says, there's certain, the Meiri Nivamos says that in certain circumstances you could lose your status as Yisrael. And perhaps even more surprisingly, there's a Rabbeinu Baruch, that's quoted by the Mordechai, who says the following. Let's say you have a Meshumad, someone who an apostate, who left the faith, and he performs a Kiddushin, he marries a Jewish woman. Does she require a divorce, or does she not, in order to remarry? So Rabbeinu Baruch says, she does. Why? Because there's always a possibility that he did tshuva right before the Kiddushin. Now most would say, you require a divorce because Yisrael af b'shechata Yisrael, still a Jew. So even if he's committing all sorts of sins, he's a Jew, so the marriage should go into effect. He says the only reason why the marriage goes into effect is because he may have done teshuva beforehand, which would seem to indicate that according to Rabbeinu Baruch, you can't actually lose your Kiddush Yisrael. Now, is that the standard view? Certainly not, and the Kli Chemda is a major chiddush in that regard. But in the end, we end up with a variety of possibilities regarding what this Yisur is. Osochlu al Adam, Kiddushim Tihyu, those I would group together as focusing more on his behavior, his hedonistic behavior. Then you have Ish Imova Aviv Tira'u, which focuses more on his relationship with his parents.
Ben Sora more also Ben Samuch Ish, so how could he, if do B'nai Noach get the Mita even before their certain age?
Ben Samuch Ish means he is 13.
Okay.
He is 13. The Gemara, we saw that last week also, the Gemara says he is 13. Ben Samuch Ish just means there's a very limited period when there's a very small window when he could actually be considered a Ben Sora Mora. But we have the Avivimo, the Gazel piece, the stealing, and the Chukas Akum. And what I would say is in common about the Kli Chemda and the Yireim is that the behavior that he's engaging in is just simply radically, it's foreign to us. It's something that is totally unacceptable from a Jewish standpoint, and that serves as the punishment. So those are, again, offers us a variety of possibilities regarding what the Isur is, and Be'ez Hashem, next week we will explore some of the many nafkaminas of this question.
Where does the...